Blog Talk Radio.
It's been since forever that we've actually spoken and been together. Where are my folk over on my Facebook broadcast? Okay. So let me do this. Don't go away. All right, for those of you on Blog Talk Radio, I am super excited to be with all of you, and I am redoing my Facebook Live broadcast because we needed to do a little something different. We're just going to do this format. So hang on a second. I'll be right with you. We're going to talk all about what's happening. A lot of Houston sports today, right? Let's do this. Let's make it 11:05. The Houston Astros, of course, as you know, are the World Series champions. And they're still celebrating, and as well they should be. It has been quite a week for Houston fans, for Houston Astros players. And here we go. Wow. All right, so I redid the Facebook Live broadcast because it was the wrong platform. So you're not connected. So for those of you on Blog Talk, there we go. We definitely will be on Facebook momentarily, but for now we can talk here. I have a few announcements to make. One is that I am launching a new podcast that you will be able to hear. I will also post updates on all of my social media and post links where you can get them. And here we go. I'll post links to where you can get them. You'll have information on all of my social media platforms, and I'm just making sure. So here's what just happened. This is kind of like live television, except it's live on the internet. I use this platform, as many of you know, if you follow me on Facebook, where you can see me live on Facebook during my show, right? Obviously, that's what Facebook Live is. But you can also see my guests when I have guests on Facebook. So it allows me to have guests, and when my guests are on, you see them. You don't just hear them. And the comments that you make and others make I can pop them up on the screen so you can really see them in real time and with a graphic around them. So on this platform, it allows me to do the show a number of different ways. It allows me to do it on, to have one guest, to have a couple of guests, and when I scheduled today's show, I scheduled it for there's a platform where it's just an interview, like a solo interview. Well, I don't have an interview for today's show, so with that particular platform, it wouldn't allow me to get started until I connected the guest. So that's why I had to cancel that show and start a new show that doesn't require a guest. There's another format that I usually use that allows me to have a guest or not. The platform that I was going to use requires that you have a guest. So anyway, that's just a little technical thing. So I had to cancel the first show and start a new show. And in order to start that show, I have to reschedule it. And you have to reschedule it. It has to be like 11 minutes before you can reschedule a broadcast. So that's why we have a lag between what's happening with Blog Talk and what's happening on Facebook. So the people on Facebook might be wondering, what's going on? So they'll know shortly. They see the broadcast is scheduled to start momentarily. Let's see where it is. And in the meantime, those of us who are here together can just kind of chat. So let's do this particular broadcast, the one for today at 11. So we normally start at 11 o'clock Central Standard Time every Thursday. And I used to do the show at 10 a.m., and I went back to 11 o'clock, which is where the show originally started. And I'm toying with the 10 o'clock because now I've heard from many of you that you really enjoy the 10 o'clock format, the 10 o'clock time frame better, because it allows you. Now, quite frankly, you know you can go and watch later, but in terms of a live broadcast, people seem to be more present when we were here at 10 a.m. So I am still toying with that, and perhaps that'll be the thing that we do is take the broadcast back to 10 o'clock since that seemed to work. All right? So we're 7 minutes away from joining the Facebook Live audience. Over the past week, it has been quite a journey for those of you who are joining me on Blog Talk. It's been quite a journey covering these Houston Astros and just being a part of what the Astros are doing. You know, I did not attend the parade in person, but I did obviously see some of it, and I saw all of the people and from the highlights, and it was really amazing to see the sea of orange covering this the city of Houston and all the people who were participating and engaged and just having so much to celebrate, right? It was just quite a time, and there's not been a day quite like last Friday when there was a parade that the city hosted. But there has been ongoing celebrations. Like, these guys are going to be so worn out. Every day they're doing things. They're flying around the country. They're being celebrated. They're not complaining, and so I don't want to make it seem like they're complaining about it. But it's just a great opportunity for them to experience this. And when they catch their breath, I'm sure they're going to want to get someplace and just sit down. Like, sit down and maybe even lie down, because what they've just been, you know, it's just been ongoing. It's just been ongoing. So I am excited for the Houston Astros and what they've been experiencing and what they've been subjected to, and also for Houston fans. You know, Houston fans haven't had a championship to celebrate in a while, and so it's really very exciting that the Astros have that now. You know, the Houstonians have that. It hasn't, now granted, you know, the Houston Comets won championships in the late 90s and in 2000, because I used to be on their broadcast team, so I did two of the championship years, so that would have been 2000 maybe in 2001. No, 99 and 2000. But the Houston Comets won four championships, so back at the late 90s, early 2000s. But, and before that, the Houston Rockets won two NBA championships. But it's been since that time that the city of Houston has been able to say that they are world champions. The Dynamo have been winners, so I don't want to short teams that have had success. But quite frankly, like winning a World Series or an NBA championship or at some point perhaps even a Super Bowl, those rank, okay, maybe a little higher, to be quite honest. Whether they should or not, they just do. And so the city has really embraced the championship. I mean, like, and they've done it orderly. Fans have been, you know, behaving, and just enjoying all that has come with this championship. So it makes me excited to cover a team. And the members on this team, I'm telling you, they are, you know, it's a professional organization. The players, you just pull for them because they are just good guys. You can't help but pull for them because they're no real, you know, egos. And I say that, I mean, you have to have some sort of confidence to play at this level and to be successful. But they are just really very humble, very likable. They are very appreciative of all of the fanfare that's gone with it. It's like they understand that what it means to fans and to this city, especially following, you know, Hurricane Harvey and all the devastation and many of the places that are still devastated. You don't get the sense of, oh my gosh, these people are getting on my nerves. You get the appreciation of the support. And so I really like that about the organization and about the players. It's like they just get it. They are connected to this community. And, you know, Lance McCullers he and his wife are, you know, love animals. And so they were, I think, last weekend at a shelter and a part of an effort for a dog to be adopted. You know, you've seen that. You've seen them go to Disney World and Altuve was on the Kimmel Show, and a couple of them were on Saturday Night Live, and they've been at Texans games and Rockets games. I mean, it's been fun to watch, and, you know, I'm excited for those guys, and there's nothing like winning, and there's nothing like that experiencing all that comes with a championship. I mean, imagine, you know, and whatever it is you do for a living, maybe on your job, if you guys – whether you launch a new product and you do it successfully or, you know, you do programming and you have these very successful programs and great feedback. I mean, when you know, or if you enter into, you know, there are corporate contests sometimes for all sorts of things. And so if you happen to experience that on your job, you know, you kind of have a sense of, you know, what that could mean. So it is, it's kind of cool. It is very cool. And I've said to someone before, this Astros organization, you just really enjoy working with them because whether they were losing 100 games, because they have been that team, or now winning 100 games and now on to winning a World Series championship, the team is still, they still treat you the same way. They still work to provide, you know, excellent customer service. They don't treat the media like the media is somehow the the enemy. They get that, you know, we're telling stories, bringing the stories to fans and the audience, audiences, and they're doing what they do, and it just is, it's like the way it should work. I don't want to say it's odd, but that I have to say, oh, they do a really good job of just being professional and being grown up, but they actually do. So we're about to join Facebook now. All right, so good morning, everybody. Welcome to Facebook. I am super excited that you are with me here this morning. Started a little bit later just because I had to change the platform, and, you know, that's something that I'm constantly working out. I'm going to reload it to kickstart the broadcast again because it looks like it's not connecting quite yet. So hang on. We're coming. There we go. And I think we are back. There we go. It will connect. The camera's correct. All right, welcome, everybody, and welcome to Chalk Talk. We had some technical challenges off the top of the show. I've been talking with the Blog Talk audience, but welcome to those of you on Facebook Live. There is so much to get to on today's show. If you will, for starters, if you will just share the video so that we can build our audience and make sure that everybody gets to be a part of the conversation we're having today. Man, has it been a week for sports in and around the Houston area. Now, you know, we talk about sports all across the country, but there have been Houston has been in the news for sports over the past week, and with good reason. For starters, and we talked about this on last week's show, the Houston Astros are the World Series champions. They won the 2017 World Series. They defeated the Los Angeles Dodgers. 4-3, it went to a decisive game 7. Houston won that game, and it has been nonstop celebration for Astros and for a lot of Houston fans since. I got to say this, the Los Angeles Dodgers really showed what a great organization they have, right? Hey, good morning, Heaven's Angel. I miss you as well, my sister. It's good to see you. And good morning, Pamela. I'm so glad to have you here for a number of reasons. So the LA Dodgers last week put this billboard up, or not even billboard, so the scoreboard that is, you know, their scoreboard. So when the game ended on the scoreboard in Dodger Blue, they lit up the scoreboard and said, congratulations, the Los Angeles Dodgers congratulates the Houston Astros, 2017 World Series champions. Now that's class. And the Dodgers also took out a full page ad in the newspaper to congratulate the Houston Astros. It kind of gives me goosebumps, right? Because that's kind of what, those are some of the things that happen. That's what sports does a lot of times. It just, you know, it kind of galvanizes us and it brings us together but it also shows us a lot of other things. It reminds us of things that are happening around the world, and it spotlights some of the not so great things. But sports is a great time to connect with people, even if it's in those 2 or 3 hours. You know, I know Pam, your son plays football, and when you guys are at those games at St. Thomas, it doesn't matter what differences the fans and the families have of those kids playing football. You guys are just, all of you there who are supporting St. Thomas, you're there on the page and on the side of the people from St. Thomas. You want them to be successful, to play well, to be safe, and everybody's having a good time. You know, other families. It's just a time that really connects us, and that's a lot of what sports does. That's a lot of what sports does for us, right? It gives us a chance to connect and to be on the same page, and to get to know people who, quite frankly, might be different from us. So it's just been a really exciting time. It's been fun to see the Astros going all over the place. There was a celebration last Friday. You know, there was an estimate of about 500,000 people, with that 500,000 people would show up to the parade in downtown Houston. Well, I don't know what the official number is, but from all reports, it was definitely closer to 1 million and maybe more. you know, it was well beyond 750,000 people, more like a million plus. People came from everywhere. There were families. HISD canceled classes on Friday so that the students and staff could be a part of this celebration. And it was a parade that, you know, it was really impressive. And here's the other thing that was really impressive. There were no real incidences. I didn't hear about, you know, there were no cars being turned over. There was no violence really associated with the parade and the celebration. Even the night before, on Wednesday night last week, when the Astros won the World Series, people in Houston were, you know, there were people in the stadium at Minute Maid Park who were watching the game on the big screens. There were people all over Midtown and downtown and all across the city. And Academy stores last week opened their doors at midnight to sell the World Series champion apparel, paraphernalia. People started lining up at like 9 o'clock, right? So I went out to an Academy, not the closest one to me, in Upper Kirby in Houston. And when I got there at, I don't know, 10:30, it wasn't quite 11, so it was between 10:30 and 11. There was nowhere to park. I couldn't even get close, right? And so it was cool to see all the people out celebrating, getting in line, wanting to, you know, get their Astros paraphernalia and so that they could, you know, wear it to the parade or wear it to work the next day. But it was pretty impressive. You know, it was worse than rush hour traffic. The expressway, the feeder roads were backed up. You had to go and park like blocks and blocks away. But my point in all that is that it's been really the spirit of this city. You know, the city that was underwater a couple months ago, you know, and now is at the top of the sports world as World Series champions. And the team, you just couldn't ask for a better team of players to really kind of wear this badge, if you will, of honor as champions. They have they've been gracious. They have been all over. So they won the game last Wednesday night, flew back first thing on Thursday. They started taking Albert Altuve did Kimmel on Thursday. They got back Thursday, arrived to, you know, hundreds of Astros fans meeting them as they got back, flew back in and got back to the stadium to get their vehicles. One of the guys told me, I don't know if it was Alex Bregman or Lance McCullers who said on his street when he got home, they had decorated the entire street, all sorts of Astro orange and blue. So he turns on his street to go home, and that's what he's greeted with. How cool is that, right? You're not expecting that your neighbors have been out decorating the street so that when you come home, you get this for you, right? Because, you know, the team is getting all sorts of recognition. There was a parade, as I mentioned, on Friday. Good morning, my sister Sylvia, joining us. Morning. There was a parade on Friday that, as I mentioned, had, you know, maybe a million people or more as a part of the celebration. People started lining up, like, pardon me, overnight. But it seems like everybody was well behaved and in order. It was really orderly. There were no incidences of just bad actors. People were just excited and wanted to be a part of it. I saw my friends posting their kids on Facebook, you know, little kids, you know, teenagers, grown ups, families going down. It's just great to have something to celebrate. And, I mean, granted, we have a lot to celebrate daily, just kind of life and getting up and moving around. But it is cool that, you know, it is cool to have something that everybody can celebrate together and be really have this pride about your city. So you have all the Astros pride and celebration going on. So Thursday it was that. And then Thursday afternoon, we get this awful news from the Houston Texans that Deshaun Watson, the starting quarterback, had torn his ACL and would be out for the season. You know, that young man has also galvanized the city around him, not just by his play on the field. He has been nothing short of amazing on the field. Every time he's on the field, because he's in the game, you always think the Texans have a chance to win. And, in fact, you know, they should have beat the Seattle Seahawks. There were some decisions made late in the game that probably cost them that victory. Same thing when they played in New England. I mean, this team has been putting up more points with under Deshaun Watson than it has really in a very long time. So, in fact, I can't think of when they put up this kind of production offensively in terms of point production. So for him to go out, it obviously was a blow for the team, for the franchise and the organization in terms of their football production and their possibilities, but also because of who he has been off the field. He has already shown that he is philanthropic. Remember, this is a young man that gave his first game check to three women that work in the cafeteria at the Houston Texans because they lost everything during Harvey. He donated his personal game checks. And had them split it three ways. So that speaks volumes for a young man who's, what, 22 years old, 22, who has that kind of wherewithal and that kind of heart. Because it's not just about, you know, making money. It is having the kind of heart that says, you know what, let me help. They lost everything. I can make it without a game check. I got another one coming. Let me bless these people. And he did that. You know, the story about him has been, you know, it's been well documented. He grew up with his mom. His mom, well, he got throat cancer. He became kind of the man of the house, if you will. And he was instrumental in keeping the family together and doing things and moving the family forward. He graduated from Clemson last December. So he graduated a little bit, you know, he was finished with school in May, but he graduated last December, so he has his degree. He and his mother were the recipient of a Habitat for Humanity home, and Warwick Dunn, another NFL player, donated this house, and Deshaun proudly talks about that and pays it forward. So he's gone back and he's, you know, helped build other homes and, you know, he just gets it. So, you know, you hate it for football and, like, oh, the Texans are not going to be very good now. But also you just hate it because, you know, Deshaun Watson is, because of who he is as a man, as a human, as a person, as a part of the community. And just, you know, you hate that for him. Good morning, Marcy Brooks. Welcome, welcome. So I don't know if the feed that you guys see is frozen or not. On one, my end, one screen shows it frozen, the other screen does not. So I'm hoping that it's the screen that is not frozen that you're getting as a part of this broadcast. So that was kind of, can you imagine, like that was the high and lows of what the Texans experienced last week, right? It was the high of the championship, and it was then very next day, boom, Deshaun Watson's out. It was like, oh my gosh, Deshaun Watson's out. It was tough to hear, and it was tough. I hated it more for him personally than just for the team. And so, you know, with that said, it is frozen. Okay, let me try to reboot it and see if it'll. This is so crazy. So I'm gonna reload it. So don't go anywhere, and it will hopefully not be frozen when it comes back. So just hang on for a second. It'll black out and it'll come right back so that we can. Okay. Connect camera. See, it should come back up soon. We'll try this again. Hopefully when it reboots, okay, now it's not frozen. Not sure why it does that, but thank you for letting me know. I know sometimes I'm with you, Pam. Sometimes I think it's my connection too, like when I'm watching something, is it my connection? So, so yeah, just what a week for the Houston Texans, you know? that just kind of shows you how it froze again. I don't know what to tell you except that we're just going to hang in there and have the conversation. What I could do, but what I won't do, since we're halfway through the show, is jump off the platform and just go to my regular Facebook page. But I'm working through some technical things, so thank you guys for hanging in there and bearing and sticking with it today, because I just need to make sure what happens with the video as I kind of work through it with the people at BeLive TV so they can fix it, because we used to have no problems getting these broadcasts done successfully, and now we are having some technical issues that can quite frankly be annoying. So we're talking about the Houston Texans and the fact that they have they got a big blow when they found out Deshaun Watson was going to be out for the season. His surgery was, I believe, yesterday. I'm hoping that it was successful and that he will have a complete recovery, because he was just setting the NFL on fire. You know, he was really, you know, setting the league on fire. And one of the things it tells you is when he got injured, there are people from all around, not even just the league, but, that people sending him their well wishes. I mean, other football players, even LeBron. I mean, people just, they just connected with, I don't want to call him a kid, he's a grown man, but they connected with this young man in a way that we hadn't seen in a while, you know, because he just has this infectious spirit about him, and what a great example. You want to talk about the role models, and we talk about, well, you know, you need to raise your own kids, and they shouldn't be, you shouldn't have to count on players being role models. Well, this young man is an amazing role model for young people and even for grown-ups. Sylvia says, it was tough to hear, but worse if they signed someone who hasn't had a pass since 2011 and hadn't played since 2013. Yeah, that's so when they lost, when Deshaun Watson went down, and they only had two quarterbacks on the active roster, Deshaun Watson and Tom Savage, right? So Tom Savage was he was the starter on last Sunday. Before that, they did go out and sign last week they signed T.J. Yates, who has had a couple different stints with the Houston Texans, and Matt McGoin. Matt McGoin played at Penn State, so he had spent some time with Bill O'Brien. Neither of them is really very good. Let's be right honest. I was doing Isaiah Carey's show last Friday night, and I was trying to be diplomatic, and he said, "You're always honest." And I want to be honest. I don't want to be. I just had to say, I don't want to say that the guys just aren't very good, but they're not very good. I mean, you know, Tom Savage is just not very good. Yeah, he knows the offense. He's been in this offense for a number of seasons. You know, since he's been here, this is what, his fourth season. But he's also played behind these guys who have not been very good, right? And I'm reloading again so that the page will move. So if you have a little break in time, that's what it is in the video. But hang in there; you'll still be able to hear. So we're not connected. There we go. Camera. So T.J. Yates started on Sunday, and it was not a great outing, okay? So when I got to the stadium, it was it just felt kind of, I don't know, kind of sterile, you know? There were a lot of empty seats. Now, the Texans report a sellout number every game because those seats are all sold, so they're paid for. But there were a lot of empty seats at Sunday's game. And there was just not a lot of excitement or enthusiasm in the building. There was just no energy. And somebody said, maybe it's because of all that happened with the Astros. Well, it's because the excitement that people have had for Deshaun Watson, they just don't have it for Tom Savage. They just don't. And no knock on him. He's just not – he doesn't really ignite excitement or energy in a crowd. So there were no protests on Sunday. Everybody stood. Dwayne Brown was traded, as we talked about last week. He was the one they wanted to make out to be the malcontent, you know, raised a fist last year. Dwayne Brown's gone. So by all accounts, everybody should be happy, right? There's no protest. Dwayne Brown is gone. And we start out with a lot of empty seats. And it wasn't too far in the game before the fans started booing Tom Savage. So my point is, it's really more about the production on the field, you know, in terms of what the fans will do. I bring that up, which gets me to my next point. You know, of course, there's always talk when there's a quarterback that goes down about Colin Kaepernick and if he will get a shot to play in the National Football League this year. He obviously is one that you would think is an ideal candidate for football because he runs, he's mobile, some of the things that Deshaun Watson can do, his skill set would lend you to the offense, him being able to fit into this offense kind of seamlessly. Granted, he'd have to learn some different terminology, and he hasn't run exactly this particular offense. But, you know, he'd be a natural fit. And so when I'm leaving the game last Sunday, the Texans lost. Tom Savage was awful. The fans booed. Many of the fans left way before the game was over. And I heard a few fans saying, hey, you know what, they ought to sign Colin Kaepernick, right? You know, he at least can move. He can run. So they didn't sign Colin Kaepernick. There was some talk that maybe they were talking to him on Monday. I just never really believed it. I didn't think Bob McNair would do it. One of the guys in the press box that I sit next to every week, he seemed to think that they were going to sign Colin Kaepernick. He just seemed like it was the right business move. It just made a lot of sense to bring this guy in. They did not. So what they did do was sign Josh Johnson. That's the quarterback my sister was referring to. Let me put this back on the screen. Josh Johnson has been in the league about 10 years. He hasn't thrown a pass in a regular season game since December of 2011. And I think over his 10-year career, he's played in 29 games. So that gives you a sense of a little bit about Josh Johnson. So to say that fans are not really optimistic about Josh Johnson is probably an understatement. So they have Tom Savage as a starter. They have T.J. Yates as the backup, and then Josh Johnson is the third-string quarterback. That's all I can tell you. And so I realize the feed is frozen again. I don't know how to fix it, and if I keep jumping off, I'm probably going to lose you guys. when I reboot it, it comes back for a moment, and then it just freezes up again. So if you can hear my voice, that's great. Prevents this page from creating additional dialogue. I don't know what that means. Let's just reload it. So it's going to reload, and it will come back, and we'll finish. We're going to wrap up the show a little bit earlier today because who wants to see the frozen Kim for a whole entire hour? You know, that's no fun. So there we go. So I'm going to jump off that. I mean, we could talk about the Colin Kaepernick thing and the fact that Bob McNair is, you know, missing the boat on this one and missing an opportunity all day. But here's something that's happening that's really interesting because I know a lot of you who tune in are Dallas Cowboy fans. So, you know, there's been this ongoing issue all season with the Cowboys and in the NFL about Ezekiel Elliott. He was suspended 6 games for a domestic violence case, and he has appealed it successfully more than once. And so, you know, it's back in appeal again, and when it's been appealed and he was granted a stay, he's been able to play. So he is playing. Jerry Jones is not happy about the suspension. Clearly, Jerry Jones is the owner of the Cowboys, and he didn't want one of his best players to be suspended. And so now one of the things that we're hearing is that Jerry Jones is considering filing a lawsuit against the National Football League lawsuit to keep Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, from getting a new contract. It's a little more complicated than that, but in a nutshell, that's what it is. He says they need a better understanding about the understand the compensation package, but they need a better handle on the compensation package and the bonuses. So Roger Goodell he's made hundreds of millions of dollars, but I'm going to say his current contract is $38 million a year, $40 million. I mean, to me, when you get to 38, 40, 42, I know that's a lot of money, but it's in that neighborhood. So if I'm on the low end, if he makes $38 million a year, oh, that's tough. And on the high end, if he makes 42. So my point is he makes a lot of money. So to think that they want to come back and say that maybe he makes too much money and we need to reevaluate the compensation package, I wouldn't have a problem with that, except you know that it's really because Jerry Jones is mad about the Ezekiel Elliott case, you know, and Jerry Jones is one of the most powerful owners in the league. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys, you know, that is America's team, whether you like it or not, and it's kind of interesting. I don't really, you know, I think he's in whatever. I mean, you're talking about billionaires and multimillionaires, right? They don't really have a problem. So, you know, but just it's interesting when they see, when they kind of take this approach with each other. And usually they're picking these fights with people who are in a much weaker position than them. So, you know, at least it's, you know, while Goodell is not a billionaire, he's a multimillionaire and he should be able to he'll be okay, right? He's going to be okay. But isn't that something? You know, that is just the world of sports. But that's just the world, right? Doesn't that happen in big businesses, you know, in corporations and companies? It's not just sports. See, that's the thing I'm always talking about with sports. Sports is what happens in society. If you see it happening in sports, you see it happening in society. And so, it's all very, very interesting. So a couple of other little sports things I want to make sure you know about. So Jose Altuve, who we all think should be the MVP, and I would be really surprised if he is not selected as the MVP, he has been named Player of the Year at the Players' Choice Awards. He's gotten the American League Offensive Player of the Year Award. He didn't get the Gold Glove Award this year. He's had it in the past, but he didn't have that. That's a defensive award. But I really do think that he is going to be named. He's also going to be named the league's most valuable player, and that's just going to be nothing short of exciting. I mean, he's been everywhere, and I don't know if you saw the Saturday Night Live clip last week, but it was pretty funny. You should go back and check it out. You know, these guys have just been, you know, pretty gracious and have been all over the place. Carlos Correa and his fiance Daniela were on the Steve Harvey show this week. They also were on the local news station where there was a little girl who apparently was devastated when he proposed to his fiance at the end of Game 7. And he said he wanted to find that little girl. So the local NBC station here in Houston, KPRC, found a little girl, brought her to the station, had her on the set, and then Carlos came out and his fiance, and she got a chance to meet him. He gave her a hug, and the fiance said, "We'll share him." It was just really sweet. It was really very cute. And so, you know, that's the kind of stuff they're doing. And Carlos Correa didn't have to do that, right? He's a World Series champion. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff he could be doing and probably is ready for some rest. But they have really been taking the celebration in stride and being gracious and giving of themselves and their time with the fans way beyond what people probably could even really realistically expect. So, you know, those kinds of things have been fun to see. You know, like I said, Lance McCullers out last weekend helping with a dog shelter, I believe, trying to help get dogs adopted that need good homes. The Sunday night game, A.J. Hinch, Lance McCullers, Dallas Keuchel, I think Mike Fiers, and maybe there's somebody else. I can't think of the other person. We're at the Rockets game. There were a few at the Texans game on Sunday. It's just been really nothing short of amazing and fun to watch. So the Astros are being honored all over the place by the baseball writers. And, you know, after last Friday, they had their final kind of press conference, if you will, until they meet back up again to head to spring training, which will just be in a couple of months, right? Pitchers and catchers report in February. And so, of course, they were asked if they would go to the White House. And A.J. Hinch answered, well, you know what, right now we are celebrating this win. And we don't want to – he goes, I understand that this is a tough time in the country. We're really divided on a level that we never have been or haven't in a long time. I don't want to misquote him. But he said he was going to focus on the championship and celebrating the World Series. They just got back, and they just wanted to enjoy that. And he didn't want to do anything that was going to be divisive or divide the team. Dallas Keuchel said, yeah, I'm going. It's the White House, you know. And Alex Bregman said, I'm going to do what Carlos Correa, I'm going to do what Beltran and Altuve do, or Beltran and Springer. Basically, what they do, I'm going to do. So, you know, it's so unfortunate that we're in a place now in our country politically culturally or just in general, that something that used to be a really an honor and a really cool deal, you know, has become something that is, in fact, so divisive, like so crazy. That's really unfortunate. It has come to that. And now whenever a team wins, there's the whole conversation about, are we going to the White House? And it's because this president has created that sort of division. Hey, Don Payne, good morning and welcome. I apologize for the frozen screen. It's on my end and not yours. So, but thank you for being here. It's been a while. Welcome, welcome. It is unfortunate that, we have a sitting president who is much more about dividing people than bringing people together. So, the Astros. I mean, and then you don't want to, like, be mad at the players because they go to the White House. You know, they think about, you know, if you played baseball your whole life and your goal was to win a World Series, well, one of the things you get to do when you win a championship is go to the White House. You know, and as a kid or as a college player or as a rookie, you know, you don't know who's going to be in the White House if and when you ever win a World Championship. So, but you do win it, and now – with this guy, it's just, I have no words, but I think you guys get my point. Since I did jump to politics a little bit, let's talk about this before we get out of here. There were some stunning election results this week around the country. And basically what it showed is that people have woke up, right? And they are getting engaged. So a year ago, Donald Trump was named president. It has been a year of day in, day out, straight up drama, right? It is. It's just straight up drama. You know, I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat or independent or whoever you are. It has been straight drama. There's just no break from it, and it is draining people. That's why y'all all need some Juice Plus in your life, okay? You better have something that kind of can keep your immune system and keep you kind of everything you have going and healthy, because toxic stuff isn't just like in chemicals and in the air. It's also in speech and attitude and energy, you know? So we have to really be kind of protect ourselves and be good. Good morning. Good morning, Dwight Williams. Welcome. Welcome. Hello. Hello, my friend. Dwight Williams from HGTV, from HTV. Pam says, right, we're talking about Juice Plus. It is just, I'm telling you, you know, I was encouraged by the elections this week. I was encouraged at what happened in Virginia, that the candidate, that, you know, who they say didn't run a great race at the end, despite that, he still won the candidate who was of kind of that divisive nature and energy, and that the Democrats across the board won. They hadn't won like that in that state in many, many years. Here's another story that I was really encouraged by. In New Jersey, there was a city council seat. I don't remember the particular city in New Jersey, but there was a city councilman earlier this year who tweeted and tweeted a picture. What happened? Okay. I don't know what just happened, but I guess it reset on its own. Talking about the Women's March, and said basically his question was, are they going to get done and be home in time to make dinner? Like, how incredibly sexist is that? So there were constituents who were offended by that, and I guess they called a meeting. He was supposed to show up. He did not. One of the ladies who was attended this meeting and was particularly bothered by those comments said she took off work to go to this meeting. She wanted to hear his explanation and hear what he had to say to his constituents, many of whom were women, and he didn't show up. So she said when she left, she was just really annoyed and, quite frankly, offended. And her family said, well, you know, why don't you run against him? Why don't you run for the seat? And so she did. She ran against him. She had never been in politics before. She had never run an election, much less won one, and she unseated him. She won the seat. And my point for sharing that story, perhaps you've heard it, is, you know what, it's not enough to just be offended and bothered by behavior that's bad. It's just bad behavior. What can you do? Maybe it's a call for some of us to be more involved, have more of a position. You know, if there are people who are representing you that you don't think really represents your interests, you know what I always say, unseat them, vote them out. Being mad and protesting and all those things are important. But what's most important is voting, because that's what changes things. Remember how people were all talking about Obamacare was awful and you know, it was the worst thing ever, and of course the Republicans for, you know, years were talking about repealing and replacing it and getting rid of it. And then it became the firestorm when the new administration came in and they were going to get rid of Obamacare. They were not able to come up with a plan, so they couldn't get it done. And people around the country started saying, oh, wait, that's the insurance I have. That saved my wife's life. That allowed me to have this coverage. And so people now like Obamacare. I just saw a note flash across my screen. 600,000 people have already enrolled in Obamacare in the first couple of days. That's more than double what signed up all last year. And this year, President Trump has taken away the marketing and advertising for the Affordable Care Act to tell people about it. They've reduced the number of days you have to register. So basically, it took all the money out, like 95% of the money out of the marketing budget, to tell people, like, hey, it's time to sign up and get registered, blah, blah, blah. They're not doing – that's not happening. And more people are registering, signing up, enrolling for Obamacare now than they did last year. So, you know, so if you are a person who, you know, uses the Affordable Care Act, that's your insurance, make sure that you sign up by – you go and you re-enroll by December 15th. It's not automatic that you just stay enrolled. You have to enroll. And, of course, the current administration would like for many people to not enroll. They'd like to say that, you know, it just doesn't work and you know, we should just get rid of it. He'd like to see it just fail. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Don says, did you know that some people didn't even know the ACA is Obamacare? A lot of people didn't. They didn't realize that what they had was Obamacare. So they were mad at their own coverage. And it was really clearly the name, right? It was the name Obamacare. It was because President Obama's name was on it. Can I just say how much I miss President Obama and Michelle Obama and just the first family? It was just, man, it was just a joy to be represented by them. I was getting therapy on my ankle yesterday, and there was a guy there was also getting therapy, physical therapy, plays basketball overseas, and he talked about how when Obama was in office, he'd be overseas and different countries, and people would say, "Oh, you're American? Oh, President Obama, Obama, we love Obama." People just loved him. He said, and now it's the total opposite. It's almost as though, he said, it's like it's embarrassing. You know, he works overseas, so he has to go. And the response that he gets, people are like, "Oh, you're American. Like, how did y'all get president? How did y'all get Trump?" I mean, they just can't understand it. And they just kind of, he said, they're kind of laughing at us, you know. But, you know, we can't control what the people do overseas. But what we can do is we can be active. We can vote. 2018 is around the corner. And so before we get out of here today, let me leave you with this. Most times at the beginning of the new year, we get started and we talk about all the things we want to do differently. And there are three things that people always talk about. They want to lose weight or get healthier. They want to do something better with their finances. Those are the two things that people seem to always have on their list, right? They want to clean up or improve upon. So what I say is, let's not wait till 2018. Let's get ahead of the curve now. You can start sitting down and making your plan for what you're going to do in 2018 with your business, with your career, with your school. What's your plan? Do you have your 2018 plan? Let's get it in place before we get to Thanksgiving so that when it comes to Thanksgiving, you're already kind of rolling and getting ready to move into what you're supposed to do. And if you want to be healthier, if you want to be more fit, losing weight is a product of being healthy and fit. So I always lead with getting healthy and fit. Learn what you should do now. If you're interested, inbox me and let's talk about it. You hear me talk about Juice Plus all the time. I'm happy to share it with you. We are in our shred. We have one more shred before the year is over, but you can shred at any time. We shred for 10 days every month. So for 10 days, it's just over one weekend, we take out some of our more unhealthy habits and replace them with really good habits. We just try to infuse our lifestyle and our diets with better stuff, right? It's not a diet. You're not counting calories. We're just living, trying to live the best life that we can, and we're doing it with real food. And so Juice Plus is one of the ways that you can do that. And I'm happy to tell you more about it. If you just inbox me, I'll let you know. Dwight says vote, people, absolutely. And Don says it's all about voter turnout. Listen, what happened in Virginia, this is Texas, right? And so it's a red state, and, of course, you've got to, we got a senator that's up for election. It doesn't have to be the way it's always been, because understand this. There are people who are also Republicans and independents who are not happy with the tone and the cultural attacks and just quite frankly, the agenda in some cases of the current administration. Don't just complain about it. Make sure that you are registered to vote. Make sure that you know who represents you. You know, I'm always talking about know who represents you, who's your school board trustee, who's your city council person, who represents you in the state house. Make sure that you know the answers to those things and that you prepare. So get registered, get informed, get engaged, and maybe you even want to run. Or find somebody you want to support, but let's not have a year like we had in 2016 where we were somewhat apathetic because we weren't excited about any of the candidates. We need to get excited about the fact that we do have a say, and our vote does count. All right, I'm going to jump out. We are just about out of time. Thank you guys for being here. I'm going to work on not being frozen next week because I really hate that frozen look. I'm not frozen on my screen, but I can see it in the window that you get that frozen screen. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Kim Y. Davis, and also that you subscribe to my Kim Y. Davis Facebook page so you'll get updates about the shows. Have a great, great weekend. Share the video, even though it's frozen. And thank you so much for being here. Have a great weekend. Do something kind for yourself and something kind for somebody else. I'll see you next Thursday. I was about to say Beyond the Headlines. Where did that come from? On Chalk Talk. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.